My name is Chris. I'm going to set out some thoughts here about software, choices about software and how those relate to values like minimalism. In doing so, hopefully you'll be able to answer the question for yourself, is GNU Geeks a minimal distribution? And you'll have an idea of why that might matter to you. This is about me. I've been doing stuff around geeks for the last few years now. I got involved around FOSDEM back in 2016. First though, if you haven't heard of geeks, here's a small introduction. Now, I often find geeks a little tricky to explain as a project, mainly because I think you can do so much with it. The first thing to say about geeks is that it is a package manager. Packages in this case are software packages, and geeks can manage them. So geeks can help with things like installing software. Geeks also includes a large number of package definitions, over 15,000 at the time I'm recording this talk. There's a whole range of software in there, written in many different languages, doing many different things. While Geeks works on distributions using either Linux or the GNU Herd, Geeks also provides the tooling and configuration to form a working operating system. This is normally referred to as a Geeks system. So Geeks is a package manager with lots of package definitions, and it's also a distribution of GNU. That's quite a lot already, but there's more. One not particularly specific but apt description of Geeks is a software deployment toolkit. The Geeks pack command is a clear example of this. This command allows you to take Geeks packages and wrap them into tarballs, Docker images, and squash.fs images. In general, the Geeks pack command can help you use Geeks to deploy software to systems that might not have the Geeks tools available. Returning to the is GNU Geeks a minimal distribution question, surely with the description I've just given, Geeks can't be considered minimal. There's just so much going on. Well, I've described Geeks so far, but what does minimalism mean, especially in the context of software? I think the properties set out in the call for papers for the Declarative and Minimalistic Computing Dev Room are pretty good, so that's what I'm going to paraphrase here. Firstly, smaller systems generally take less resources and consume less energy. So resources in this context are things like storage space and RAM. Next, secure systems that are easy to understand. Building on this, there's another perspective on minimalism that I want to consider. The Unix philosophy has a few ideas about building software and systems. It's from a while back, but it's still pretty relevant today. I'm just going to mention the first of 4 points. That point is, make each program do one thing well. To do a new job, build afresh, rather than complicate old programs by adding new features. Focusing on the make each program do one thing well bit, I think that's really relevant here, especially in the context of minimalism. But how do you determine if a program is doing one thing? Fundamentally, all tasks can be broken down, and you can see this in the way software is often written. Programs can be broken down into small reusable parts, often called procedures or functions, and those do one thing. And code within those functions can be further broken down with each line doing one thing. If you're familiar with writing software, you'll know that how you break down a problem into code to tackle it is very important, not just for solving the problem, but also doing so in a maintainable manner. Going back to the question again of whether Geeks is a minimal distribution, I think it's relevant to ask if Geeks does one thing, and if so, what that is. The first way of answering this is no. I listed some of the things that Geeks is earlier, a package manager, a distribution, plus some tools like Geeks Pack. But I think there's a better perspective on this. I think that there is one problem that Geeks tackles, and it's the problem of software deployment. Now, I mean deployment here in a very general sense. Often you deploy to some computer you're not sitting next to, but I think getting software running on your local machine is deployment as well. You're still getting some software and making it work. Because Geeks can be used to manage systems, manage software, manage service configuration, configure whole systems and generate things like system images or software bundles in various forms, Geeks can handle a very broad range of software deployment tasks. These are tasks that in the past would have probably be handled by separate tools. I think the consolidation that Geeks provides is a real step forward and is something that just happens naturally in a lot of places over time. In computer hardware, for example, features that you would have once found in separate hardware, like sound cards or network cards, that functionality has been consolidated into motherboards. aspects of motherboards are being consolidated into processors, and generally, like, this happens because the advantages of the consolidation outweigh the costs. That's kind of why this might be happening, but what I want to do is really articulate what the difference is. And to do that, rather than just stating it, I'm going to show an example using the Ruby on Rails web development framework. I'm using this as an example because I've been working on using it for the last few years, and I've also worked on packaging it for geeks. So this isn't an example you should follow. I'm just using it to try and set the scenes for what tackling a problem without, or with minimal use of geeks might mean. I'm roughly following the installing Rails section of the Getting Started guide. First, there are four prerequisites: Ruby, SQLite, Node.js, and Yarn. I'm going to use Geeks to provide Ruby, SQLite, and Node. The Geeks Node package includes npm, and since Geeks doesn't have a package for Yarn, I'm going to use that. I'm going to install Yarn with npm. To try and limit the impact on the rest of my system, I'm using direnv to manage the environment. What you're seeing now is the installation of Rails with the RubyGems package manager. RubyGems is the language-specific package manager for Ruby. Gem is the equivalent term for package. This is taking some time as it's that's actually built some gems now and it's installing documentation. After this finishes, what I'm going to do is run the command Rails new blog. This will create a new Rails app. That will do a few interesting things. A second tool related to managing RubyGems will come into the mix, called Bundler. While RubyGems is a package management framework for Ruby, Bundler is a tool to make sure, try and constrain the gem versions that your Ruby application uses. This is me just quoting from the README files for these tools. That's not going to be the end of the package management going on here, though. The Rails new command invokes Yarn, and that is used to install something called Webpacker, and that pulls in like 600 dependencies. This is the gem. This is Bundler, I think, now, which is using some existing gems that have been installed and installing some new ones. I wanted to run this in real time to give a sense of the time it takes for this process. Some Ruby gems come with native extensions, and that those often take more time to install because you have to compile that native extension code. So back to the kind of bigger problem of installing Rails, there's a number of different tools doing different things here, and it is possible to describe each tool as doing just one thing. Geeks was used to install prerequisites, apart from Yarn. I used npm to install Yarn. RubyGems was used to install Rails, at least parts of it. Then Bundler came into the mix to provide a more strict way of using gems. And finally, Yarn's going to be used to install Webpacker. Taking me less time to say what I was going to say about this than the time it's taking to actually install things. So, at least this is my example of a situation that can be improved rather than the way to go. I think it's getting there. So this is now on using Yarn to install Webpacker and all of its dependencies. Nearly there. Done. Wonderful. Okay. So what are the disadvantages of this kind of fragmented approach using all these different tools? Firstly, you as the user are spending time dealing with several different tools, four or five in this example, depending on how you count. They don't really interoperate. Rails runs Bundler and Yarn, but that's not really interoperation at the package manager level. Next, you've also got a lot of state to manage. To illustrate this, I'm going to show you some of the files that were created when I ran through creating this example Rails app. First, this is the gem file. This is used by Bundler and works on top of Ruby gems. This file says something about the Ruby version. That's just a check. There's also a .ruby version file that's been created, and I'm not sure exactly what that's doing here. So this file lists the gems that are wanted, along with constraints for the dependency resolver on the version. Next is the gemfile.lock. This goes along with the gem file. The gem file is what you want to edit, and the gemfile.lock is updated when the dependency resolver is run. It's a bit longer than can fit on this slide. Switching tools, this is the package.json file, which is used by the node package manager, and in this case used by Yarn. Like the gem file, this includes lists of packages with constraints for the dependency resolver, just a different dependency resolver than the one I mentioned previously. And like the gemfile and gemfile.lock relationship, there's a corresponding yarn.lock relationship, which stores the outputs from the dependency resolver for the package.json file. This is a lot longer than the gemfile.lock, since it tracks 600 packages, I think, and includes hashes to check the integrity, which is a nice feature. So that's the four files: genfile, genfile.lock, package.json, and yarn.lock. But there's also Geeks providing some plenty of dependencies here, which I haven't described tracking. So the problem I'm getting at here is that each of these tools has its complexities and its state, and by using multiple package managers at once, all of this complexity and state is shifted onto you, the user. Next, I want to talk about the limitations this fragmented approach imposes. You've got the cost of two dependency resolvers here, and all the resulting state you can attempt to reproduce the setup in the future and on different machines. You can't look at dependencies across these fragmented ecosystems, though. The Ruby gems resolver isn't going to pick gem versions that work with the libraries that you've got through Geeks. Similarly, Yarn isn't going to help you pick JavaScript libraries that work with the Ruby code you've got. This is just one example of how this breakdown of the problem roughly along the lines of programming language makes it harder to provide a good experience. All of this means that you're discouraged from picking software that isn't available through the limited package managers you're already using. Ignoring Geeks and the wide range of software it provides, Ruby gems and NPM aren't going to provide you with tools written in Python or Rust or Java, for example. With this fragmented approach to package management, you'll be discouraged from picking the best available tool if that's not available through the package managers you're using. Finally, there are risks of being dependent on multiple tools. Bugs or security issues in these tools might impact you. Both RubyGems and NPM are dependent on remote package repositories. With these services comes the potential for downtime that prevents deployments. So with all of that said, is there an alternative? What would be a minimal approach to software deployment? Firstly, take a singular approach that works for all of the software you're using. Then you're not spending time trying to manage and use the interaction of multiple tools. Then, the same principles that apply to state management in a program apply to deploying software. Rather than running dependency resolver, or even multiple dependency resolvers, and storing the results so you can use that state later, instead, declare what dependencies you're going to use in a concise and reproducible manner. Now, before starting to use Geeks, I thought that dependency resolvers were a core part of package managers. Now I think that in many cases, you'd be better off without trying to use a dependency resolver, especially at the time right before you try to install packages. Next, I think it follows from taking one consolidated approach to software deployment, the tooling can be built around this that isn't limited by splitting down the problem along the lines of programming language. As a small example of this is the visualized output from the Geeks graph command for the Ruby Railties package. You probably won't be able to read the text, but each box represents a built package output, and the lines represent references. So the dependencies between these outputs are the lines. Because Geeks has all the information about relationships between the different packages, the Ruby packages are on the left, and they're joined up to things like Ruby kind of in the middle, and some of the other libraries around the top right. I don't think being able to generate comprehensive graphs is a particularly enticing example of how the minimal approach is beneficial, but it is one of the more visual examples. I think the Geeks pack command is more generally relevant. Being able to generate tables, Docker images, and other software bundles makes it possible to get some of the benefits of using Geeks while not depending on Geeks being available where you're deploying software to. The complete view of packages is very important for making Geeks pack work, as it means Geeks knows what's put in the pack and what it doesn't need to. From a more futuristic perspective, I'm really excited by the insights that Geeks can provide about software you're using, which is really important for keeping track of vulnerabilities that you might be impacted by. This is simplified by having one comprehensive source of information about what versions of software you're using. Moving on, using a general purpose package manager that isn't specific to one language or one domain means that you're no longer discouraged from using tools written in other languages or dependencies in other languages. You can pick the best tool, not the best tool, but written in the same language as you're using. Finally, with one approach to software deployment, hopefully it'll be easier to understand and more reliable. Particularly with Geeks, there's the Git repository to fetch updates to Geeks itself and the package definitions, but that's not required when performing operations. And there's the option of using a mirror of the Geeks repository instead. Prior to saying even more positive stuff about Geeks, I want to do some management of expectations. Geeks has many high-quality package definitions, and there's only a few cases where Geeks doesn't build things from source out of necessity. Unfortunately, the trade-off of this approach is that there's still much work remaining to package a lot more software. JavaScript is a particular example of an area where there's not that many packages. I'd expect most of the 600 packages I mentioned earlier that Yarn installed for the demo are not ones packaged for Geeks. Geeks also only supports a number of architectures, so that's something to check as well if you're considering using it. I don't want you to discourage you from considering Geeks, but do keep this in mind when you're considering to use if you'll be able to use it immediately. Packaging software for Geeks is a community effort, so you can help out there as well if there's things you're missing. Back now to what makes Geeks so good for deploying software. As I mentioned before, the package definitions that Geeks has are rigorously built. They build the software from source with only a few exceptions, and in most cases they run the tests against the built software. Geeks is great at orchestrating building software from source, but this isn't something you necessarily want to be doing all the time. That's where substitutes come in. They're literally substitutes for building the software locally. Geeks as a project provides a build farm that builds Geeks packages for multiple architectures, and you can download these built substitutes. You can also distribute substitutes yourself with tools like Geeks Publish. This point is also a notable difference from package managers mentioned previously. RubyGems doesn't have such a general approach from providing built software, and while that's not relevant for the vast majority of Ruby packages, there are some require compiling native code upon installation, which can get frustrating when it happens again and again. Having just one package manager allows you to solve these problems once and solve them well. Next, Geeks is dependable. It has good security properties, commits are signed, and those signatures are checked when you put in updates, rollbacks are detected, which help prevent rollback attacks, and substitutes are signed, which helps provide some security when you're fetching them. There's some security built in for building the software source as well. Or at least then trusting the source Geek and Geeks rather than the source Geeks and whoever built the software. Geeks also comes about many of the features that make other package managers less secure. Arbitrary code within packages isn't executed when you install packages, which is something that's possible with a lot of other package managers. Geeks is also less dependent on network services compared with a lot of other package managers, which removes single points of failure. Finally, the rich set of features that Geeks provides means it can comprehensively tackle software deployment problems. If you can avoid using a distro, a different configuration management tool, several language-specific package managers, and then tools for providing isolation on top of those, and replace all of that complexity of Geeks, you can hopefully spend a lot more time doing what you're trying to do, rather than spending that time trying to deploy your software. So, is GNU Geeks a minimal distribution? Yes, you can use it to consolidate your approach to deploying software. If Geeks has the packages and features you need, and you're not already using it, adopting it might save you time in the long run. Even if Geeks doesn't have all the packages and features you need, you might still be able to get some value by using it, and then maybe that will give you the encouragement to start contributing. So, if you're interested in learning more, the Geeks website is probably a good place for information. There are active mailing lists and an IRC channel. Finally, I'm just generally really excited by the potential I see in Geeks, and I hope you now are too.
And for example, how do
we... I think we're going live now.
Ah, really? Sorry.
Yeah, just a second. Maybe. Yeah, we're live. Oh. Okay, I was late. I couldn't see any question yet, but if you have any, please ask. I think everyone is just saying that your talk was great, and they were talking about Emacs versus VI, and also some stuff about NPM. But I don't think I've seen any question directed to you precisely. So again, as last talk, if you have some questions and you want to continue discussion, there's a specific room for the talk that is going to be advertised. I see a question. Maybe you can answer that. Is there something similar to Nix Flakes in the Geeks? And if you know what that is, then maybe explain what Nix Flakes are.
So I don't really know what Nix Flakes are, but I think there are some similarities maybe between Nix Flakes and Geeks channels. I know Nix has a concept of channels as well, but I think the Geeks concept of channels differs from the Nix concept of channels, and actually Geeks channels are somewhat similar to Flakes maybe. But yeah, I don't really know much about Nix Flakes, so I'm not a great one to speak on that subject.
Okay, so maybe a last question. Yeah.